Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone out to Bible study this morning. Our study this morning comes from Acts chapter 4. And just take a few moments here and we'll just read over Acts chapter 4. And it reads, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preach through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass in the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done of the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they may punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for the which was done. All the men was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the seas and all in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and against threatenings and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many of were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. That was Acts chapter 4. So what had just taken place in chapter 3?
We saw where a lame man was healed, being carried and laid at the temple of God, and that gave occasion for Peter's second sermon. And it seems that they were interrupted in that preaching by this opposition from the leaders of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1 says, as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them.
Right. So it got a lot of attention, didn't it? And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but so many people today will say, if I could only see a miracle, that they would believe. Okay? So kind of keep that in mind a little bit. And as John said, As they were speaking, so they were almost like interrupted. And the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. And these people were, I always say, quote unquote, what would you call these people today? I'm sorry? The authorities? Or a lot of times we'd call them the religious people today, the people that should have known. But these are people that, you know, as we'll see a little bit later on, that, you know, will actually convene the Sanhedrin and where they'll be put upon them. And verse 2, which is question 1, what was the attitude of the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees? Grieved and greatly disturbed. Why? Yeah. They preached the resurrection. People were listening to the word. And this miracle, and that's part of why the miracles were bestowed upon the apostles, was to be able to confirm the word that they were teaching. And so this miracle had strove to keep or to open the ears of people. It got the attention. So they were listening to what was going on. And the chief priests and Sadducees, when they heard under what authority, under Jesus, that's what really pricked them to the heart. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So what was the people's reaction to this teaching down there in verse 4? Many believed. Yes. Now, a lot of times we see in Scripture all, but what's the word here? Many. And one of the things I always think about, and I said this earlier, a lot of people say, if I saw a miracle, I would believe. Many believed, but not all believed. There's still people that will see a miracle, and it's one of the reasons why I personally think that the miracles was done away with, because they didn't. Not everybody would believe. So why would you still have miracles going on today? It still would not convince some people to the heart that they would believe. But the people that are searching for the truth heard it, and that's what made them believe. And it said here that, in verse 3, it says, and the captain of the temple and the men with him, they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold until the next day. So basically, we would say they were arrested, is a good way to put that. And then again, many believed, which again, kind of puts up what's coming up here very soon. In verse 5, it says, it came to pass in the morrow that their rulers, elders, and scribes, and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, many as were of the kindred, talk about stacking the court, many of his kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And verse 7 here, it never really dawned on me before till I was looking into this. It says, and when they had set them in the midst, what does that mean? Set them in the midst. Kind of put them in the middle. They're kind of encompassed around. Why would you do that? Exactly. Be a little intimidating. Kind of catch you off guard. You know, have you ever been in a circle around a bunch of people that were in direct opposition to what you were saying or anything? We would probably get a little nervous about that. So there was kind of a ploy that I kind of had read about that. And then the question was asked, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Done what? The healing and the teaching. Okay. Verse 8. Says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and ye people and ye elders of Israel. So Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, gives them that bold answer. And it's the answer that they're not going to want to like to hear. But it is with boldness that the answer is given. And he says, and if we, by the Holy Spirit, he says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you, to you all, there's our key all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Not what they wanted to hear, was it? And you can almost imagine this probably more infuriating. But Peter goes on and says, this is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone. You know, when you build a building, that first stone, everything's built off of it. If it's crooked, everything else is crooked. But this is the stone that they threw away. They set it overside. It's not good enough. It doesn't match what they wanted, what their expectations was of Christ or the one to come. Goes on, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, one of the things we see, salvation is in no other than Christ. And Peter, by the Holy Spirit, is telling them, the Sanhedrin, this information. Now, I probably missed a few questions here. Why was the Sadducees having issues with what Peter was saying? What was the key point of the Sadducees? Yeah, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Well, wait a minute, they were Jews. So even, this is one of the things that I kind of think about, and we were kind of having this, the comment this morning, or conversation this morning. Even within the Jews, there was division. Well, in Christ, there is no division. It's all the same. We all think and we all do the same thing by the authority that Christ has given us. And that is what the Sadducees here, that resurrection has always caused a problem. Who else used that division there with the Sadducees to stir up to stir them up? Remember when Paul did that? And Paul knew that would stir them up. So he uses that to get their attention. This is now when they saw that the 13 says, now when they, the Sanhedrin, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So it's almost like you don't know who you're talking to. But all of a sudden they realize these men are not dumb. They're not ignorant. And they were with Jesus and they were speaking boldly. And I was going to look it up and I forgot to, but how many times boldness comes up in the Bible? And when we talk, we need to speak boldly of God's word. And 14 says, and behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And this was one of those verses that just really should cut us to the heart today. Here they're being called in question as to why they healed this man, by what authority, and yet the man standing there, and they could say nothing. They knew the man. They knew he was lame from his mother's womb. He'd been at the gates, and Peter healed him through the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ healed him. Peter was just the mediator there. And they could not say anything against it, could they? So again, seeing a miracle doesn't always make people's heart change. It says, and 15 says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, because they were trying to figure out what to do, saying, 16, what should we do with these men that we indeed a note, this again, listen to this, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now, one of the things, find my note here real quick. I thought this was interesting. It says, even though they would not believe the testimony that the power of healing was by the resurrection of Christ, talking about those of the Sanhedrin, they did not know how to accuse these men who taught it. All they could do was stall for time as a considered dilemma. Now, this is the point. How blind and how hard-hearted they are. And you can see over in Matthew 13:13-15, we talk about the hardness of the heart. One of the things we have to be really on guard on is that hardness of our heart. We need to let the word speak to us. If we see something and we read it in God's word, we need to soften our heart to that. And we see today so many times that people of the world and people in the denominational world, they will not yield that. Even if we were raised with something in our mind and we find out that that was wrong, we still can't accept that's a fact. And that's where the hardness of their heart here, they were not willing to release that. But how many people did listen to them? There was a number earlier. About 5,000. So about 5,000 people changed their mind because of what they saw and what was taught. So there's people out there today that still want to hear the word and still searching for it. And we still need to be able to be out there in boldness preaching and teaching and setting that seed to help that seed grow. Verse 17 goes on and says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and they speak henceforth no more in his name, in Christ's name. So all they could do was threaten him, because there was nothing they could do. There was nothing, they had violated nothing. And they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, I think, is a good key verse for us to remember. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. Verse 24, we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. Put us in prison, put us in jail. We've seen through the gospel account, we even see through Paul when he was in jail, he continued to sing songs of praise. You know, they converted the jailer. You know, everything we do, every place we go, we set an example. And we should be speaking those things of the gospel, the things of Christ. And nothing should stop us from that, even if we're threatened. So in 21, after they gave this answer, it says, so when they had further threatened them, so they already threatened them, Peter gave them, you be the judge, but we're not going to stop. They threatened them again, because that's all they could do. Let us then go, finding nothing that they might punish them. Again, they couldn't find anything. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. The gospel was starting to take hold. 5,000 had converted. These men of the Sanhedrin would not yield to the things that believing in the resurrection and changing their mind, but 5,000 people did, and you see where they feared the people, because all men glorified God that which was done. They were given the glory to God. And again, they weren't given the glory to Peter and John. They were given the glory to where it belonged, and that was to God. Verse 22 goes on again. It talks about the man being 40 years old. Last week in John's lesson on Acts, he didn't go to rehab. He wasn't raised up and went to rehab for weeks. This man never walked. He was born this way, 40 years old. And what happened after Peter, through Christ, healed him? What did he do? He was jumping and leaping and walking. He never learned to walk. And a lot of times people forget that. Oh, it's a miracle. Grandma can walk. You know, they laid hands on grandma, she can walk. But yet she's still got a rollator. She's got a walker. She's still being assisted. No, it was a complete miracle. So in 23, they were let go. And they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. Why would they go back to their own company and report this? You ever get an email from a gospel preacher from overseas or within the United States, the trials and tribulations that they go through, the things that they face every day, the baptisms that they've had, the ones that are coming to Christ? They're letting them know, because, again, everybody's edified in that information. And it says here in 24, it says, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, whom the holy child Jesus, whom hath anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel have gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand hath made counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness, they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Where is this heard from before? Is this verse familiar? Yep. So basically was restating the same quotation there. And 31 goes on, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? With boldness again. So the things that they had went through was, again, strength. They shared that information. That all strengthened them all and gives them more courage to be able to be in all boldness. And a multitude of them that believed were with one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. One heart, one soul. What does that mean? Yeah. You know, the saying, we are brethren. You know, what is mine is yours. You know, at some point, we get really selfish today, don't we? What's mine's mine. You know, I mean, you look at society today, even within marriage, you know, what's mine's mine. It's kind of funny. You know, we used to hear man cave. You know, now you know we have she sheds. You know, so you got the man cave over here, and then out back there's a yard barn. That's the she shed. You know, because you don't want to spend the same place together. That's not of one heart. That's not of one mind. They were of one. And again, conversation we were having this morning, we see today where it's so important for our elders to keep us of one. We have to all be of one mind. If we're doing something wrong, not only is it each individual brother's responsibility, but it's also our elders' responsibility to get us onto that track. Daryl made the comment, says, you know, if I'm disfellowshipped, the elders come to me and I'm disfellowshipped, that should be almost a thorn. I can't remember the exact word he used, but that's a thorn. That means you got to get something right. Not just like, well, I'm not going to believe that, I'm going to go on. But that's being of one mind, one soul. 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace was upon them all. 34 goes on and says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things which were sold. So why were they doing this? Why were they selling their possessions?
Well, there was great need at that time because the people had stayed in Jerusalem and heard the received teaching that they needed to and be converted, and the apostles encouraged them to stay there to allow that teaching, so that when persecution did come, they would know what to say and do once they left Jerusalem.
Yep. Yeah. John, is and you just told the story about the person that came to a gospel meeting somewhere and he mortgaged his motorcycle. Had no idea how they were going to get in the home, but had mortgaged the motorcycle to get to the teaching. And that's what kind of came to mind when these things. These people all came to Jerusalem, and they probably brought stuff with them, but they'd been there long enough, they were now in need. Now, we always have to be careful about need and wants. You know, need is the necessities, food, shelter, raiment. A lot of people today, they don't want to give up physical things to help others, you know, and because of wants. I've heard people in past like, well, people should have helped me do this, but yet they had more possessions than what most people have, but they're not willing to give up their possessions. So, I don't want to get sidetracked on that, but sometimes God blessed you with those things. Well, glory to God to be able to get to sell it and be able to give that back to help others. So they sold it. It says lands and houses, sold them and brought the price of those things which were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to he hath what? Need. Okay? So, again, as they had need, the necessities that they have. And Joseph, who was by the apostle whose surname Barnabas, which was being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What were they giving? Or let me better phrase this. How much were they giving? Okay. It's earlier it said possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices. Here it says Barnabas, having land, sold it and brought the money. So how much did they bring? Yeah, it doesn't say they gave 50% of it, 10% of it. It says they brought the price. So if I sell something for $20 and I bring the price, how much did I bring? I brought $20. They were giving all. That was a personal sacrifice that they were going through of being of one mind, of one soul, to take care of the brethren. You know, so when we think about those things, they gave all. What's expected of us? When it comes to preaching the word, to helping brethren, what should we do? We should give all. We should be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. And when somebody is in need, whether it's financial, whether it's physical need or whatever, we should be willing to say, you know, we'll give all. We'll help out. Each person has different abilities. Each person has different needs. But we should not sit there and say, nope, I'm closing my billfold. Nope, that's my money. I'm not giving it. Whose money is it? God has given us that money. God has given, you know, and when we get to the thinking, God gave us everything. God has, through his, given us the ability to do things. They're all God's. Everything we have is because God has blessed us. Yeah, Becky. God lends it to us. Yeah. That's called being a good steward of what he gave us, right? I know I've said this probably in the past, but I've had people tell me that, you know, they've gotten overextended in the things that they had. And they prayed God would help them. And all of a sudden, that brand new boat got stolen out of the driveway. Maybe God helped them, you know. I've heard people talk about building houses and started out like not missing a Sunday or a Wednesday night. And then before the house is completed, they're missing Sunday services and Wednesday night. And then the house burns. I heard that story many years ago of a story that happened to. And they asked the gentleman what he was going to do. He says, I'm going to rebuild. But he says, I'll never miss a Lord's Day or a Bible study going forward rebuilding it. Because I did that, and he says, I think that was for a lesson. Sometimes we got to look at what happens. But sometimes, again, we get too selfish. We got to be able to help our brethren, be of like mind, be of like faith. And that kind of sets up for chapter 5, and I'm not going to go into it, because we'll see in chapter 5 where some of this will make a change. And it's one of the things I think it shows where the world thinks today. So I'm not going to go into that because that's somebody else's lesson. So if we back up just a little bit again, we see where Peter and John were arrested here because they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were teaching Christ. They were using the abilities through God, through Christ to heal this man, to confirm the word. And 5,000 people listened. Today, all we're asked to do is to teach the word. It's our job to go out and plant the seed. God will water it. God will help it grow. And we just need to make sure as a congregation that we're of this one mind. You know, and that we further speaking in boldness, not compromising. Peter could have softened what he said to the Sanhedrin, but he didn't. He spoke with all boldness that the Holy Spirit gave him utterance. So, any questions or comments, John? And sort of our conversation this morning, a lot of times people look up to religious leaders with a closed Bible. They don't know what the Word of God says. They only know what the person is saying, and they've held them in such high regard. It's our job as Christians to know what the God's Word says. We as members of Terre Haute congregation and of the Lord's Church are under the eldership direction. We follow them. If they do something that we don't agree with, we need to talk to them. And if they show us in God's Word where what they're doing is correct, we need to follow them. That's what their responsibility is as elders. So if they do something wrong and it's contrary to God's Word, we should go to them. Because we want to be all on one accord. We all want to go to heaven, and we all work together to go to heaven. And so if somebody comes up to me and says, you're doing something wrong, and shows me scripturally where I'm doing wrong, I should have the heart to change. Whatever it is, as insignificant as it is, or as great as it is, my heart should not be hardened. It should be willing to accept God's word. Because it's not the person, it's not the individual, it's God's word. And again, we see where, I kind of take that back to where they had houses, they had land, they sold it. Because they had a heart to help their brethren. They had a brethren in need, and they were going to sell those things to help them. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Let's see. Let me check on my notes real quick. Oh, again, back there in that verse 15 and 16 of chapter 4, we need to make sure we don't have that blind heart. I think I've talked about that quite a bit. We got to make sure we have that willingness to have an open heart. Back in 13, again, one of the comments that I had read says, what did Peter and John have to gain by defending a lie? Sorry, I missed this point earlier. The fact that they were willing to die for their testimony serves as another link to the witness that Jesus Christ is the resurrected Son of God. Again, talking back, again, going before the Sanhedrin, why would they be preaching against something that would cost them their life? And the point I want to make here is we see so many people today of teaching false doctrine. Are they willing to die on that false doctrine? Peter and John were. But are they so sure that that doctrine is true that they're willing to die on it? And that's where we need to be with God's word. We need to know it so well that we're willing to die for God's word. And in full confidence. Okay. All right. If there's nothing else. I probably didn't follow my questions very well. I apologize for that. But I think we should have answered most of the questions by going through that. All right. I thank everybody for their participation. And we'll have Acts chapter 5 next Lord's Day, going into some real familiar of Ananias, and starting out with Ananias and Sapphira, and that'll kind of springboard off of what I said today. Thank you.